It's great to be back with you. It's been a while since I've been at the table. Thank you for being here and for worshiping at St. George's this morning. The collect of the day, I didn't make the connection with what I wanted to say to you this morning until just a few minutes ago. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love. So, I don't know how often we thought about the faith of God. Keep your church in your steadfast faith. Not in our steadfast faith, but in your steadfast faith and love. We would figure it would say love, keep the church in your love, but in your faith. And I want to talk a little bit about faith this morning. And for those of you who know me, you know I like to ask questions. I've grew up in the church. Was in a context where you weren't allowed to ask questions. You were just told, well, this is just what it means, and that's the way it is, so quit asking questions. largely I did externally because it would get me in trouble, but I continued to ask them internally. So I'm going to approach this a little bit, this idea of faith that have come out of some of my questions, and maybe it'll resonate with some of you. So our reading from Romans, the very first line there says that we're justified by faith. And this comes off of the preceding chapter where Paul is talking about Abraham, regarding Abraham and his faith. So Paul's been setting this up. A typical way that I certainly grew up thinking about Abraham and his faith, and maybe some of you have heard this, is that if we had the faith of Abraham, you know, Abraham was justified by faith. If we had the faith of Abraham, then we would be doing well, right? If I could just believe like him, I'd receive the same blessing, right? Abraham justified by faith. So if I can believe like Abraham, that God would want to bless me in my faith as well. Is that familiar to anybody? Have you anyone heard that? I see a few nods. The rest of you, please don't go to sleep. But have we considered, this is one of the questions, have we considered that that interpretation, at least on its face, makes Jesus irrelevant? Abraham didn't believe in Jesus. He couldn't, right? Are y'all seeing the dots I'm connecting here? If we're to have the faith of Abraham, and it's okay, well, Abraham didn't have faith in Jesus, does it make Jesus irrelevant? What's the deal with Jesus then? Because I was supposed to believe like Abraham. If I just believe, then it seems like something has changed. Well, often what Paul will do is he uses the faith of Abraham as a metaphor for the truth of who God is, and we know that truth to be revealed in Jesus. So y'all may have never asked that question, but I've begun to ask, well, Abraham didn't have faith in Jesus. Is my faith supposed to be different than Abraham's? And it's really kind of a metaphor for the faith of Abraham as the faith in the truth of what is being offered and given to Abraham by God. So throughout Paul's letters, he unfolds this narrative of salvation where God promises that through Abraham there will be one seed that would bless the nations. And it's not many seeds. It's not all of us who believe, but it's one seed. Y'all remember this? That through your one seed, I'm going to bless the world. And that one seed then is Jesus. So indeed, he's not irrelevant. This is the fulfillment of a promise from God to Abraham that is going to bless the world. So I opened up with this collect that's talked about the faith of God, and this is where I want to tie that in. Faith, often when we think about it then, while it will include this, is not always just about what I should believe or the way that I believe, but rather that God has proven himself faithful, that he's kept faith. And he did it through the one seed to Jesus. Are you tracking with me? So that God's faithfulness is often what we're talking about here. The faithful one manifested in Jesus. And then our faith is a response to the faithfulness of God, believing and trusting in what God has done. I said this a week or so ago in the Nave. Faith, then, Martin Luther says, does not create, it's like the eye. The eye does not create what it sees, but rather sees what is there. Right? When you see something, you see Richard sitting up here completely engrossed in this sermon. Well, you didn't create that. He really is. So your eye is simply seeing what is. It didn't create that. Faith is the same thing. Faith doesn't create what God has done for us. That is what is there. Our faith enables us to see it. We begin to see then the faithfulness of God and what He has done in Jesus in keeping His church, as we heard in the collect, keeping His church in His faith and love. Our faith then responds to that, not creating it, but seeing what is there. And I'm trying to hammer this home because often our faith is likened to some spiritual currency that if I have enough, it's going to create what I want in my life. But that's not what this is talking about. My faith sees what God has already done. It's already there. I'm just now able to see it. And let me just put this in there. Faith, the Greek word is pistis. And it doesn't really just talk about what you think about and believe. Like, I believe there's somebody sitting behind that sound booth, even though I can't see them. There we go. So, faith is you, what you think and believe, but it's trust is a really a better word, because you can trust in things you don't always understand, or maybe you don't even believe at times, but you trust it to be so. For instance, if you've had somebody tell you that they love you, at some point, that becomes a matter of trust. And that's the way you can think about belief. Do you trust that what that person is saying about their love for you will then invite you to participate in that relationship which they've offered to you? It's not an empirical believing. You can't do that. And this is a similar thing. Our faith is not an empirical connecting of the dots, but rather it's a trust in something like love which simply refuses to be defined. You can't completely get your arms around it. And that's part of the mystery of God in this relationship. So, how does our faith come in? Does it matter? And I will answer the question first. It does, but let me ask this question first. What did God accomplish apart from your faith? Has God done anything apart from your faith? Well, certainly. And y'all would answer this, and I'll just sum it up. I think 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 18, says it well. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So forgiveness was declared in Jesus without our ever asking permission or without insisting upon the fact that we believed it. Do y'all see that? In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. It says it in Romans later that while we were still sinners and didn't believe, Christ died for us. So God's doing a lot of things regardless of our belief then. I feel like I may not be connecting here. I hope you hear this as good news, because if it is the way I grew up, if this is up to your belief to make it so, where do you draw the line? Is that enough belief right there? And let's hope that I can make it across that line in order to kind of be part of what I believe. How much belief is enough belief? Have you ever asked yourself, do I have enough? Or someone may have asked you, do you really believe? Brother, do you really believe? Well, I thought I did until you asked me that, and now I'm not sure. I think I do. Do I really believe? There we go. Somebody's tracking.
Because I will fail.
I believe in God's faith in me. His faith is responding to the faithfulness of God. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's the faithfulness of God which we celebrate today. And so our role is about responding to the message of the gospel, which is the faithfulness of God in Christ, that He has done it. Remember on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." I'm probably going way too long here. Psalm 22, you remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus quotes that. It's the first line of Psalm 22. But if you go on to read the rest of the psalm, it will say this: go and declare this to a generation not yet born, that He has done it. Not yet born means they cannot even have faith yet because they're not yet born. But He has done it. It is done. And hearing the message of what has been done and accomplished then can awaken my faith in the steadfastness and the surety of that. And so I don't have to waver on if I really believe it or maybe I believe it. I've had some doubts, but today I feel pretty good about it. And then I'm just wishy-washy. My faith, and this was true of me growing up, my faith could quickly become about my faith in my faith. Believing that I have enough belief, what I've been trying to illustrate here. And if I had more, I'd be better off. It's like some barometer. But it turns out that this is really a relationship of trust. A trust in the faithfulness of God. So faith then becomes not something so much about the things I believe, like a checklist or a schematic that I can assent to. It's more than believing statements about God. Those are good. But that's not what biblical faith is really talking about. When faith is reduced to certainty, it will always bring disappointment. When faith is reduced to certainty, it will always bring disappointment. And these certainties that we can have because we believe them often become the very boundaries which keep us from experiencing God. For example, the Pharisees. Remember, they said to Jesus, "You cannot heal on the Sabbath. It's against the law." So they believed some things about God, and it was a boundary to them to coming to God, right? They believed things, and those very things of certainty, "You cannot do this," became a boundary in their relationship with God. And I mean, where have we often done that ourselves? Faith then, I'm trying to wrap this up. Faith must take hold of possibilities that reside outside of those boundaries of certainty for us. Faith, then, must take hold of those possibilities which reside outside our boundaries of certainty. Why? Because that's the only arena where trust makes sense. If you have certainty, you don't need trust any longer. You don't. Trust, implicit within trust, is some bit of mystery of, I don't know how to completely wrap my head around this. The heroes of the faith, Hebrews chapter 13, I believe, talks about the heroes of the faith. Those heroes of the faith, they were all people who were called out of their certainties. Out of their certainties and the things that they believed they had nailed down. And that's where their faith became visible. It was the relationship of trust in the faithfulness of God that held them. Amen.